cover this for a moment. I've been looking at this subject for a while, teaching the class on soul winning, so I'm going to bring some of that to you tonight. And I see that most of you here, there's one that I know of that has been at the class, or two at the class, but I covered this at the very first class, so I'm just going to cover some of this. Just pretend you that were here for that Saturday morning lesson, that some of this, like I just sang a wonderful song, and someone said, "Oh, would you sing that again, please?" So I'm going to sing it again, but I'm going to add some verses to it, so we're not going to leave you without something that you haven't heard, or maybe you've heard it, but I'm going to present it tonight. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want to read through the first 11 verses here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I have written down some names of people that aren't here to give to pastor when he gets here. So I know some that aren't here. Bruce. But he told me he wasn't going to be here. But hey, we have a special room back there if you'd like to. You know, I don't see any problem there. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So we're right in the midst, and Paul is writing a letter to the church at Corinth. He wrote two letters. And this first letter, he's correcting some problems that have come up in the church. And one of those problems was they were taking sides, of course. He says right in the midst of this, right as he's getting into the correction to the church at Corinth, that, you know, the words that came from me and came from Apollos, some of you were saved, were converted. Now that's not, says that exactly, but that's what he's talking about. And in the midst of this, in the midst of correcting, he gives a very profound statement of how people get saved. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Psalm 126 and verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Listen, as Christians, our desire should be to win some soul to Christ. The reaping of souls is so vitally important, and is such a blessing to men who are saved. To be the best and most effective witness for the Lord is to have first-hand knowledge of salvation. Ye must be born again. To be a witness in a court of law, you have to have had first-hand knowledge. You have had to seen exactly what happened. You can't go by what they call hearsay evidence. Someone else can't tell you, and then you tell the court, it has to be firsthand knowledge. And I want you to know that this is key. So if you know the Lord today, there are two essentials of the Christian life. There's sanctification, that's consecrated to a life for God, and keeping ourselves pure for His service. And then number two, bringing others to the Lord. That is our subject tonight. That is what we want to preach on. That is what we want to teach on. That's what we want to talk about today. I want to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And I want you to go to verse number 30. Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30. And as we're turning to here, I would like to stop and have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask the Lord to be with us and to give us a blessing tonight from the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You for all that You've done for us. Holy Spirit of God, touch our hearts tonight. Be with us, Lord. And as we look into Your Word, Lord, may we get a vision of winning others to You. Lord, if we'll look back in our life and we'll see how we got saved, I pray we'll take that same experience and try to share it with other people. God, I pray that You'd watch over us here tonight and keep us safe. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us a good time in the Word of God tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that if you remember how you got saved, it's a wonderful thing to look back, amen, and to remember. Some were saved when they were very young, but you need to know, I think you need to know that there was a time and there was a place that how you got saved and why you got saved. It was because the Word of God convicted you. Maybe you were, I remember when I got saved, I was fearful. I did not want to go to hell. And I think that's a great motivating factor, is the fear of an eternity without the Lord. Now I want to cover some things tonight that we can use to win others to the Lord. And why it is, the wisdom, why we are. The first thing I want to look at tonight is why it's wise to be a soul winner. Look what it says in verse 30 of Proverbs 11. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It shows a great concern for our fellow man. That's the first thing that we need to realize. It's wise because it shows a great concern for our fellow man. Better than food or clothing or housing. We have charities all over the United States and all over the world. There's charities helping people out with food and with clothing, with housing. And when disaster strikes, it is very noble to do that. It's very kind to do that. But to tell others about Jesus Christ and to tell them how to be saved shows a great concern for our fellow man. There's nothing better that you can do. It brings about an eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. It's wise to care for others. Jude and verse 22 and verse 23 says, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. A concern, so much, a compassion, but not only compassion, but a concern to just tell somebody point blank, you need to trust Jesus Christ. It shows a great concern for our fellow man. It shows the wisdom of soul winning, shows a great understanding of our Lord's final command. Mark 16 and 15, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm having a... That's pretty loud. I'll tell you what. But we're safe in here. I know sometimes it's leaks up here. As long as I'm over here, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. What Jesus said before he left, there's at least five times, that the Lord gave the Great Commission. One in each gospel, and in the book of Acts, he talks about it. When you go after souls, when you try to win souls, you're showing a great understanding of our Lord's command. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth." What is that? Dustin, do your job back there. That's it. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, and Brother Braden, I think, covered this on Sunday night, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." It's kind of distracting, isn't it? Now we've got warnings coming over the phone and stuff. How are we doing here? Somebody doesn't want you to hear this, I think. All right, we'll go on. Let me read that verse again. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many as the radiance of stars forever and ever." It shows that soul winning has the greatest of all rewards. That's what the wisdom of soul winning does. It shows that soul winning has the greatest reward above everything else, above being a martyr, above being a preacher or Sunday school teacher, whatever the case may be. It is winning souls that is the one thing that we can take on for eternity. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says that we are to, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, it says, do it with thy might. Let me turn there. I didn't write it down or put it down tonight, but I wanted to do the whole verse because it's very important that you see Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10. I have it kind of memorized. I don't have the whole thing exactly. I don't the first part very well. But the Bible says, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." When this life is done, there will be no more witnessing. There will be no more soul winning. There will be no more work that you have to do on this earth. Because when you're in the grave, you have nothing left. That's it. When we get to heaven, no matter what we do, and I'm not sure what we're going to do in heaven, or praise God or do whatever it is that He wants us to do, but there will never exceed the importance of the winning of a soul to our Lord and Savior. That is something we can only do here. You won't be able to do it in heaven. You won't be able to do it once you're gone. Whatever you do it now. So this is why it's wise to win souls. That's why it's wise to win souls. Now I want to cover what kind of wisdom it takes to win souls. If we read this verse, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." If you were to invert that, you could come up with this. Why is it wise to win souls? Why is it wise to win souls? What kind of wisdom does it take? The first thing I see in this verse is that winning souls shows your wisdom. You are wise if you win souls. One writer said that Solomon may have been speaking of making people your friends. And that could be true. To win someone to the Lord, you first must gain their trust. Look at the first part of this verse. As we read it, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It reminds me of a family tree. Amen? A tree of life. It's passed down from one person to another person. You ever look at a family tree? I've tried to follow my family back. I got back to the northeast. Most of my heirs came from the northeast, went up into Canada, and it could be they didn't want to have anything to do with the war. I don't know. But they went up into Canada and came down into Michigan. But before that, I tried to follow it back. Can we follow back our family tree in the Lord? Who led you to the Lord? Who led them to the Lord? And if we look back and see some of these famous people, I think it was D.L. Moody, was led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher. And it is amazing, some of the great preachers of our day and of days gone by were led to the Lord just by some co-worker or some person on the street or some family matter, a mother or a father. We need to win souls, not only to ourselves, but the end of it is to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation brings true life. You must be born again, we said in John chapter 6 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Sounds like the worst is over. First Corinthians chapter 9, I want to look at verse 19 through 22. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, and that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That is what we are trying to do. That's what Paul said. I am going to become as the Jew. I'm become as the Gentile. I am going to get along. I am going to try to win them over. We as Christians are not trying to win souls to ourselves, like I said, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. But some want to be mustard or pepper, as one writer said. You might be smart. They might be smart, but they're backbiting and they're cutting in their words. They might be zealous, but they're not considerate. We need to know everything that we do around souls. Soul winning requires other qualities too, as well as wisdom. It takes courage, it takes earnestness, it takes patience, humility. It takes prayerfulness. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. You hear that? Who would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Let this be a witness in our hearts and minds tonight. God wants us to have these other qualities also, but there's perseverance. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then, of course, we need to have some knowledge of the Scriptures. And if you got saved and you know the Lord, then you at least know the verses that you were given to know the Lord. You don't have to have everything memorized. You don't have to have it all down. One of the best way of witnessing is to tell others how you got saved. So what kind of wisdom does it take to win souls? Well, first of all, it takes a natural wisdom. That's practical common sense. These are just some practical terms that we can look at tonight. These are just some common sense ideas. Nothing really spiritual about them, because people use these in their daily life. People plan for vacations. People plan for retirement. People plan their jobs and the direction they're going to go to get their jobs. So here's what we do. We plan our approach and what we're going to say and do to those that we want to win to the Lord. Need to be thinking about it. Do you know when you die, you will go to heaven? That's one plan. Learn how to say something that will get somebody's interest. Do you know if you die today, you'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ? There are many approaches that you can take. Have one in mind. Think about it. Have a person in mind. That's one thing that many of us fail in. I know I fail in it. I've got neighbors. If I would just think about them and try to go to them when I can. You know what? I remember Ron Ralph, who was here for our tent meeting last year, and I might have said this before, but I'll repeat it. Bears repeating that. You know what he said? He said he went all through his neighborhood and gave his name and his number and introduced him and his wife only because it was right. Not because he was going to witness to them right then, but just to go and make friends of the neighbors, let people know, I'm here. And then start planning when you can. Talk to somebody. Talk to your neighbors about the Lord. Whenever the occasion arises, we need to pray, but prayer needs to have an objective. We need to have someone in mind. Another common sense thing is men, you ought to witness to men. Women, you ought to witness to women. Now, that's not 100% of the time, but I'm saying that's mostly what it ought to be. Men, you need to be talking to other men. Women, you need to be talking to other women. Tell them about the Lord. Oh, there's opportunities to witness to the opposite sex, but I think it's important that we try to concentrate on those that we have the most commonality with. How we live also is very important. It determines the effectiveness of what we say. We need to watch what we do. We need to watch what we say. Spiritual wisdom also is a quality, is the witness that we need to have. Spiritual wisdom or discernment. James 1:5 says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And in chapter 3 and verse 17 of the same book, and James, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I just received a letter of email of one of my friend's son, who's a missionary in Puerto Rico. His name is the Sharpetas. His name is Andy, and his family are there on the island. He wrote this letter today, and I got this the other day, and I thought it was very timely for what I wanted to say tonight. The other day, he says, I'm quoting him now, the other day I had an opportunity to spend some time at the gun range here on the island. While there, I had two very good conversations with some folks about the Lord. Is it any wonder that while at the gun range, the Holy Spirit kept me from saying, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? That's common sense, folks. Amen. Like the barber who got saved and he was shaving the man. He gets ready to shave his neck and he puts the razor up there and he says, are you prepared to die? We need to have some. Let me read on. He says, he did, however, give me wisdom on how to ask the question another way. Praise the Lord for godly wisdom. And that's what Andy Sharpetta wrote in his letter. And I thought it was very interesting or very timely that he would send that. We need to have discernment in how we talk and what we say to folks. And then divine wisdom. We need to have divine... This kind of wisdom is spiritual wisdom, but it's also divine wisdom. Stephen in Acts chapter 6:10, recording about when he was preaching, it says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't resist it. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That is what we need to rely upon, the Holy Spirit of God. We need to think about what we're going to say. We need to plan what we're going to say and where we're going to go. That's the message tonight. We're to win souls. But to be a true witness, like I said earlier, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I look about the auditorium tonight and I see most every person here is just a regular and they have professed to be saved. But I never know. Like I said, every time I preach, every time I get up, present the gospel or preach from the Word of God, I don't know every person's testimony. I don't know, maybe they're struggling in their life. They don't know for sure if they're saved. I know that I was saved when I really settled it when I was 27 years old after being in church all those years, growing up right next door to the church. My friends were at the church. My best friend was the pastor's son and his sons and all that. And when I was 9 years old, I went down into what we called the Boys Brigade, and kind of like the Boy Scouts, but it was for Christians. And having Earl Smith, I remember his name, taking me, I was goofing around, messing around. He grabbed me, pulled me out of the room, and he sat me down and said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now pray. And I prayed. And I came back in, and he said, tell everybody, all three of them, what happened to you? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Well, you just got saved. And so we all started goofing around, acting like a bunch of fools. Had no idea. I don't know, maybe that's somebody's situation here. Went through the prayer, never trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the message tonight is that we need to be witnesses. We need to have the wisdom that God gives to win souls. We need to dedicate our life. Say, I'm going to do the best that I can to see folks saved. I want to go to one more portion of Scripture. I want to go to Matthew this night. And we'll look at verse number 16. I want you to turn there, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 is where the Lord asked Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, thou well hast said, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And not very long after that, you go down to verse 24, then said Jesus, before that, in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? He just said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. That's what he was saying, the Son of the living God. And now he's rebuking the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to go without. Something's going to happen to me. He rebuked him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then sent Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he lose his own soul, or if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? He says, deny yourself. Sometimes, folks, to win souls, we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross. And he says here, it's our cross. It's not his cross. The Lord bore his cross. And we as Christians ought to bear our cross, whatever it is. And bearing the cross is not, going without things. It's not sickness. When someone gets sick and says, well, it's my cross to bear. No, that's not your cross to bear. That's a sickness. A cross to bear is a total dedication to the Lord, a total dedication to living for Him. And if we're going to do that, one of the things, first of all, like I said, we need to separate ourselves for Him. And then number two, we need to win others to the Lord. Do you have someone in your mind tonight? Can you think of someone? I'm including me in this. When I go through this, I get under conviction. I think about it. Man, has there been a time, or is there people that I'm really thinking about it, that I'm planning, that I'm praying for? We ought to be praying for somebody. If it's just one person that we have in our mind, our mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a co-worker, or a neighbor, somebody that we meet. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for going out and passing out tracts, giving out tracts as much as you can. That's kind of akin to guerrilla warfare. Now, it's effective, and I think that's the very first place we ought to start, passing out tracts, telling people. But we ought to have somebody's name. When we go through these prayer lists, those are names, those are people, they're individuals. We pray for them individually, by name. And if we're going to win souls, we need to think about individuals, people with names, people with situations. We need to pray for them. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around here at this time. And we're going to just sing an invitation hymn.